Fred Film Radio.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio. I'm Bénédicte Pro, and I'm meeting today the director of one of the most impressive films of the year, I think, in my view, Styx. I'm with Wolfgang Fischer. Hello, Wolfgang.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
So here your film is in an international competition here in La Roche-sur-Yon. And also, I want to say that it's one of the three finalists for the European Parliament Prize Lux. And with reason, because this film confronts two worlds separated by even the first conception of what is hell or paradise. The sea is a synonym to paradise for some people, for the first character that we meet, a doctor who saves people for a living but wants to take a holiday. But then, as she floats around the beautiful landscape, blue everywhere, she meets some migrants, and suddenly she finds herself in the biggest conundrum that I think is the biggest moral conundrum of humanity. So I was really impressed by the way you managed to convey such a capital tragedy with such minimal means. How did you write the script? How did you think of the situation, presenting this problem in this way?
So we wrote the script 9 years ago, and it was a big journey, long journey, because we had to talk to so many people who were involved in this misery, what's going on at the borders of Europe. And on the first hand, the main idea was to make a movie about ourselves, to raise the question, who are we? Who do we want to be? Who do we have to be in the world we are living right now? And then it was clear for us, migration, that's that theme which will follow us the next decades. So it was for sure we had to make a movie about it. And then we found out the best way is to show a person on her own. She wants to go to Ascension Island, to an island in the middle in the Atlantic Ocean. She's all on her own, and she's a professional helper. She knows how help functions, and she can bear solitude, she can be alone, she can leave her comfort zone. I admire our main character for that. And she conquers storm, she can handle the hostile, archaic world. And then a second adventure starts, an unwilling adventure, which is too big for her. And she meets on the ocean a ship with 100 people on board, and this ship is going to sink. So what is she going to do? And we want to raise the question, if I was in this situation as our main character, what would I do in this moment? What would I do? What are my possibilities, and what can I decide to do?
Before we go back to the situation that is explained in the second part, you spend a lot of time in the movie making us feel the power, the beauty, the quietness, but also the strength and the rage of the sea. And you also go through our view of it, because she browses through books, and we really have the European point of view. And I know that your first feature-length movie was actually a thriller happening also next to the sea. For an Austrian director, where comes this fascination with the sea?
Yeah, I was always fond of this archaic world. How can you control this world? How can you leave your comfort zone? What kind of skills do you need in order to go in such a world? And I was always fascinated by these people going to the ocean all by themselves, and they can manage it. And I actually have to admit, I had no idea about sailing. I didn't know anything about it. And that was so complicated, because we wanted to do everything in reality. We didn't want to fake anything. So we wanted to make this journey. And all my director's colleagues, they warned me, they said, you can't shoot on open water. You can't control the ocean. But we wanted to do it. We didn't want to go in a studio and work with CGI or special effects. We wanted to conquer this world in reality. And that was very difficult to find out, because there are no examples with films, they did it. And to be 42 days on an 11-meter yacht, and to find out how to shoot from the technical part and also from the psychological part, because you're stuck on this boat every day and there is no intimacy. You can't go somewhere if you want to cry. There is no space. And that was quite complicated to find out to make it happen. And also we were sailing through storms, through real storms, and that was quite challenging for all of us.
I was actually quite impressed by the fact that it's in open space, and yet somehow in terms of dramaturgy, the film functioned as a huis clos, as an enclosed space drama with few characters, including the boy that she rescues. The boat with other migrants is still at a distance. So there is this woman, paramedic actually, the boy she has to save because at some point he's in the water, and the voice on the radio. Did you think of it as a huis clos yourself?
I thought it was very important to make it very simple. So you show one person, she wants to go to her own paradise. She wants to go to Ascension Island, an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and she goes from north to south. And there is another person who wants to go from south to north, and he has another idea of paradise. He wants to be safe. He wants to be in security. And these two characters meet in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And that was the setup. And I like this setup, this very simple setup, very much, because we just stay in the perspective of our main character. So the audience is forced to follow her and to follow her thoughts and what is she doing, and to watch this person thinking, and it's in very tiny steps we build up this story, and that was very important, that you follow her and you just keep in her perspective and you raise the question, what would I have done in this moment?
The fact that she's a professional helper may have to do something with it, but there is procedure. You don't save someone any old way. It's not like you rescue any old way. And one of the main obstacles to her trying to help, because she wants to, is going to be this procedure, because if she cannot take everyone on the boat, so suddenly you fight against your natural instincts, and this comes as an obstacle.
It's a big dilemma. So we see an emergency doctor. She has sworn the Hippocratic oath, so it's her duty to help. But the first rule for an emergency doctor is to save your own life first before you take action. And she's permanently in this dilemma. What can I do? I can't solve it all by my own. I need somebody else. And we have to stand together in order to find a solution for this tragedy.
This is the first hindrance. But then the voice on the radio is going to multiply excuses or reasons for her not to follow her instinct to rescue, and it's going to become less and less valid, the arguments, signing a form, things that become very minor. Did you think of it very at least symbolically, allegorically, the way you were going to put forward various pretexts as they come to symbolize what our civilization, what our Western or Northern civilization puts forward as pretext not to help the others?
Yeah, right. I mean, all the persons you've seen in the movie, they come from their real professions. So in the beginning, there's a rescue team, they're real members of rescue teams. The soldiers of the Coast Guard ship, they were real soldiers. So they go out in rescue missions, and we were talking a lot with them and to find out how do they feel, how is the procedure. And they told me they want to go out in order to help, but there's a big, big, big bureaucracy behind, and they have to wait for green light. So they can't just decide we go out and save the people. It's always a big bureaucracy behind, and they have to wait as well. And that's the big dilemma, because nobody feels responsible for people out in the Atlantic Ocean or in the ocean at the European border. And to show up this kind of contrast, so you see in the beginning of the movie how help functions in Europe, and on the other side how it's going to happen in the ocean, and there is no help. And we didn't want to blame anybody, we just want to raise questions and show this contrast. What's going on right now?
There is something I'm thinking about right now, actually, because when I saw the movie in Berlin, I felt helplessness and some sense of impotency or something. But now I'm thinking of the first scenes, and I'm thinking of the quiet of the drama and the tragedy that's going there. But I'm thinking that's because we don't have organized way of doing it. But maybe if we organized it in the way we organize it in our places, it could work, actually. Is this something that you thought about as well, that there was a suggestion?
Of course. I mean, we have to stand together. We live in a globalized world, and we have to solve these problems together. And all the states have to stand together. And for that reason, I think a film can be a very powerful force. I mean, we are nominated now for the so-called Lux Prize, and we are under the three finalists. And it's a big theme, migration. And they build now a cinema in the parliament in Strasbourg, and all the parliament members are going to watch this movie. And we go with a movie to the place where all the decisions are going to be made, and we lead a dialogue. And that's maybe the first step to lead a dialogue. It's an emotional dialogue, so we didn't do a documentary. It's a feature film, and it goes right to your emotion. So it's not that we are dealing with facts or numbers. It's just an profound emotional experience we want to share, and I'm looking very much forward to share it in Strasbourg with the parliament members.
And also they do the Lux Film Days. With the Lux Film Days, they have the movies go all over Europe, so that's great, because the public is going to see it as well everywhere. This is as mostly a silent movie. There's the voice on the radio, but they don't share a common language, really. A lot of weight was on this actress, and of course the boy, but her face especially says a lot. How did you work with her to have so much power with so few words?
It was very difficult because we don't have any antagonism in the beginning. We just have a single solar woman on her own, a sailor woman being alone in the Atlantic Ocean. That was also complicated to get the funding for it, because there is no dialogue, and you just see her. It's a very physical movie, and for that reason it was quite important to find the right actress to play this role, because she's just all on her own. She has to make the movie by herself, and to get in this emotional, physical situation, that was quite challenging for her, because we had to train a lot. She is not an experienced sailor, so she had to train in the North Atlantic Ocean with professional skippers. On the other hand, she has to become an emergency doctor, so she was with rescue teams in the ambulance, and she could observe how do they talk to victims, how do they prepare them, and she had to learn all these skills. And I'm very fascinating to see a woman who can have these skills, and she's completely professional. She's a professional sailor, and she can sail on storms. She's all on her own, and that was really inspiring for me to show a very strong, powerful woman in the world we're living right now.
Absolutely. I don't want to reveal too much, but also the relationship we have with the boys goes through ups and downs. I mean, it's all down, but I mean, there are some moments when she feels antagonism also, strangely. But one scene is extremely peaceful in the film, and I'm not asking to explain because it's so nice. It's actually the opening scene. And the opening scene, I had no idea what I was going to see when the movie started. And then I thought back on it, and I was trying to reflect. So this scene, it's a city, and you see some monkeys that seem like so graceful evolving in this place that is ours, because it's not a forest. It reminded me of parkour as well, how we try to appropriate space. So there's something about space appropriation. I mean, but I don't have one meaning. It's just what did give you the idea to start with this scene?
Yeah, we started the journey from her. She starts in Gibraltar, which is the end of Europe, which is also in the Greek mythology. It's the columns of Hercules. And we wanted to start a journey in Gibraltar. Gibraltar is very special there. They're Gibraltar apes. Nobody knows why they are living there. And there's the big myth, if the apes are disappearing, Gibraltar goes back to Spain. And there is a big, big issue with these apes. There is a ministry for apes, and it's even worse if you hit a monkey by car than a human being. The fines are horrible. And I like this situation. There are these apes, and you see the apes running through town. There are no human beings. And it's a weird picture. And maybe you've got the feeling in the beginning that the world is a little bit out of balance. There's something, maybe nature is stronger than all of us. And that's why we use the image. And I like it very much to see these apes running through town. Nobody's there. It's just monkeys in town.
So glad I asked. And I'm so glad I saw the movie. Thank you so much, Wolfgang Fischer, for this really beautiful film, Styx. And I really wish and I recommend that everyone should see it. Thank you, Wolfgang Fischer.
Thank you so much.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.